Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
Get a sound check.
Aha! Hit the drop!
I pop off when I hear people say I cannot. I get off to the thought of proving everyone wrong.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What was Gruden thinking?
If you don't know what to do, you won't play here.
Knock on wood if you're with me, okay?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What was Gruden thinking? Are you kidding me? How do you turn that down? What are you thinking?
Earlier on the show, Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian. Coming up, Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan. Actor and former NFL running back Thomas Q. Jones. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial here on YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show, which is where we are going to be able to be seen from here until the day that we're on the Roku channel, starting to stream every single day in September, where we will also, like today's program, be free. Every single day for free on Roku devices, Samsung, Smart TV, Fire TV, your mobile device, therokuchannel.com for those of us new who want to have a desktop way to watch this show for free starting in September. We're here on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, until that very day. Of course, we're still here on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate that is kind enough to have us and partner with us. And we greatly appreciate those at Westwood One and the Cumulus Network putting this in front of your ear gate. The same thing with our podcast, where all podcasts can be acquired through the Cumulus Podcast Network. We say hello to those streaming us on Odyssey as well. Thomas Q. Jones, 10,000 yard rusher, is a professional running back in this league now, a professional actor in studio hour number three. His show Johnson season number two is airing Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on Bounce, with encores the next day streaming on Brown Sugar. He'll be here in studio in hour number three. We already chatted with Steve Sarkisian of Texas football. Later on in this hour, I'm going to reveal my top five most intriguing teams, fascinating teams. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but they're just fascinating to me entering the 2022 NFL season. And of course, there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. He's one of our favorites on this program. And I've said that even though when he wasn't on hold getting to join this program. You can confirm that, right, Chris?
I can confirm that.
We love this guy from the New Orleans Saints, a perennial Pro Bowler. He's one of the best in the business and a favorite of ours on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, Cameron Jordan, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Cam?
I'm great. When I heard you throw the word actor out there, I said, I don't have that accolade yet. I need that in my life.
Do you want that? You know, DK Metcalf says he's taken acting lessons on his off days. Did you know that?
He told us. I thought he already did that with some of the penalties he asked for.
Cam Jordan, everybody, has entered the chat.
Cam, oh, Cam.
Cam Jordan has entered the chat on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, let's get into it. Then who's the worst actor in the NFL on the field? What do you got for me?
I don't know. Look, it's got to be offensive linemen, right? Cause they hold so much, and then they always look at the ref bewildered when they actually get a holding call.
That's true. Or it's the worst ones are the ones who raise their hands like, I didn't do it, which is an indication that they absolutely did it, right? The offensive linemen that hold and then put their hands up like, oh, I didn't do it, which is a way of saying, look at me, I just held, right?
I might have to take that role too, because, you know, after you hit a quarterback, once he's released the ball, you know you don't even get 0.1 seconds anymore. So after you tap him, you throw your hands up immediately like, I didn't do it, I didn't mean to, please forgive me.
I don't know, but doesn't that call attention to what you just did, Cam?
Like, it probably does.
Maybe you should just be casual about it, you know? Like, yeah, I did it.
Be a lot more smooth about it. Absolutely.
Yes. If you're smooth about it, that means they're not going to see it. They might have think, was that a hit? I don't know. Oh, he put his arms up like he didn't do it. I'm throwing a flag. I think you might be calling attention.
Yeah. See, in my mind, it's like, hey, I'm letting you know that I realize I might have taken a step too far, and I'm asking for leniency with the hands thrown up. Like, I could have murdered the quarterback, but I didn't. I let him go.
You know what? I'm also having this conversation with you, Cameron Jordan, is because I'm trying to, I guess, refurbish my reputation as understanding line play. After I went all in on Twitter saying the hit on Kayvon Thibodeau by Thaddeus Moss was illegal and he should be fined and suspended. And it was a perfectly legal hit. What did you think of that hit on Kayvon Thibodeau, Cam Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, as a you know, I say it's one of those bad positions to be in as a defensive end. He shot up the field, tried to readjust, didn't know exactly what he wanted to do with the tight end. And that split second of indecision, that can, you know, luckily I think, you know, his body is resilient enough where he was able to bounce back. Because it was just, like I said, that split second of indecision can always put you in a bad position.
So what do you do when you're in that position, when you see it?
Destroy tight ends. Hey, you got to match pads. You got to be able to level with it. I don't, you know, depends on what he was doing. If he's trying to keep leverage and box the tight end, he's just got to lower those pads. But let's be real. I mean, you know, at defensive end, we've got a lot of chances to be hit and be, you know, be pulled on.
So, yes,
it's just one of those parts of the game you have to be ready for at all times. No. It looked like he was not ready.
So that's what I'm also gleaning from the conversation over the last 24 hours is people are saying, certainly people who play defense for a living are saying that's what Thaddeus Moss is coached to do. That was the play that he was supposed to make. And Thibodeau was just a young buck who didn't handle it properly. Is that accurate?
Like I said, that split second of indecision, whether you want to box it or you want to spill it, or you know you want to match pads or you want to drop the opposite arm, depends on you know what you're being coached. But trying to figure out what you're going to do, that doesn't happen. You know, so and luckily it's a preseason game and it didn't lead to severe injury, so he's got a chance to correct the mistakes in the future.
Cameron Jordan here on the Rich Eisen Show. And before we move on to another topic specific to your team, I did have Mike Pereira, the current rules analyst on Fox and former head of NFL refs on, to explain why that is a legal block and that the competition committee is beginning to think otherwise. Would you be fine if that block was made illegal in the NFL, Cam?
No, it's football. I want most of these hits to still be there. I mean, they keep making this closer and closer to a two-hand touch game, you know? What is it? You know, DBs can't cut if you're in the box. If you've got off the line to pull anymore. Like, that's part of the game. Now, you know, some of the aspects can go. When you talk about, you know, high lows versus a defensive lineman, I mean, that's one of those things that definitely should have gone. But some of these you have to be, you know, as an athlete, you have to be able to take this risk in terms of the game. I mean, it's football. I grew up watching, you know, Reggie White hand out concussions to the offensive lineman. You know, I was excited about, you know, you've seen Chris Dolman and John Randall out there mauling offensive linemen. That was fun of it. Now you have to, you know, be aware that you can't have offensive lineman head jerk back on a bull rush. Hell, we can't even really call it a bull rush anymore, on a power move. You know, the game is a little bit softer than it was back then.
Cam Jordan, all-pro defensive end of the New Orleans Saints here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so now how are things different in the post-Sean Payton era, Dennis Allen era for you in training camp and getting ready for the season, Cam? What's the difference?
In terms of training camp, we are still in, you know, New Orleans in outside in the heat working. So there's not much changing from day to day. I mean, we were blessed to go up to Green Bay and practice against them for a couple of days and see one of the greatest to do it, you know, lace it up with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I think that was great work for our ones versus their ones those first couple of days. And then, you know, that 65 degrees in August, I was upset about. Because I'm like, where is it this cold in the middle of August? Where I'm from in Arizona, it'll never get this cold. And out here in New Orleans, it's not a chance to be this cold. So, you know, we had a rude awakening when we went back to New Orleans and it was 95 to 100% humidity again.
Well, I guess I should have been a little bit more specific with my question as opposed to getting the weather report. How is Dennis Allen different from Sean Payton? I'm just going to hit the nail right on the head. How is he different?
I mean, I've got a defensive-minded head coach. You know, now where, you know, when a defense comes out and beats down on the offense, you knew you were going to, like, reset, you know, the tempo there. You're going to have to, you know, reset whatever phase we're in, whether it's run period, pass period. If it gets too out of hand, you start the period over. Now, you know, We don't start periods over. we challenge towards the next period.
Okay. So the script is flipped, so to speak, on that front, is what you're saying.
I'm not mad pretty at much. I mean, you know, come 2-minute drill, they still don't really call sacks, but, you know, that's all coaches. we make up for.
How does Jameis look to you then? How's he looking?
Jameis is, you know, looking healthy. And if he can play like he did at the beginning of last year, we're going to be in a lot of great positions to put ourselves in a winning spot.
I guess then.
I can't guarantee 17 wins, but I'm a gun for all 17.
I got it. I hear you. And then Michael Thomas, does he look similar to you, to the can't guard Michael Thomas, that you can let us know about, Cam?
Absolutely. I'm going to continue calling him can't guard Mike. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he's at practice, when he was against Green Bay, he was doing everything that, you know, we were calling doing from a year and a half ago. I mean, Mike T healthy is still unstoppable to me.
And then, you know, I had your former teammate, Malcolm Jenkins, here in studio, and I asked him, now that he's out of the game, about why the Saints are able to perform defensively against Tom Brady in a manner that others have trouble doing. Why are you so successful? And he talked about the matchups of the corners just are in the favor of the Saints, and that helps you and the rest of your teammates get home. Do you think you can replicate that coming up this year?
I can work off that for sure. It's not that it's Tom Brady and his all-star cast that they keep getting rebuffed and added to every year. You know, we talk about they had Mike Evans, they had Chris Godwin, they added Russell Gage, they bring in Julio Jones. I mean, I don't know how much more of a star-studded cast it can become. You know, they add Kyle Rudolph, Akeem Hicks on defense. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who's a part of the team. We're focused on the New Orleans Saints. So the Saints have always been the front runners of the conference in my mind. So it doesn't matter if it's Atlanta, Tampa, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, if Drew Brees had decided to go be a part of the team, the Saints as a whole are geared to try and win this division each and every year.
So
it doesn't matter the opponent.
So how good do you think you can be? I mean, serious, real talk here. How good do you think this team can be this year?
I need to see live bullets before I make these assumptions that we're, you know, before I say we're going to go 17-0. I mean, I think that every fight that we go into, I think we have a great chance to win them. And then 2-3 games in the situation, you know, we'll have a callback, and I can tell you confidently how well I feel about the team.
Okay. And how much?
I definitely like what I see at practice.
How much longer do you want to play? What are you thinking about here, Cam Jordan?
I mean, I wouldn't go Tom Brady on you. You know, I'm not going to be playing into my 50s. But I definitely think, you know, I definitely think that I've got about 5 years left. I'm going to say 5.
Okay. And I thought when you said you're not going to be Tom Brady, that means you're not taking a couple weeks off during training camp. I thought that's what you meant by that.
Oh, Cam. No. That's, with all due respect, I think somebody like Tom Brady could show up week one and do just fine.
I agree.
I've seen, you know, other players. I've seen Aaron Donald show up week one and go for 12 and a half sacks in a season. You know, when a vet knows how to play, especially when you're one of the, you know, best to ever play your position, I think that, you know, training camp is for younger players.
They're younger guys. Yeah, I know. I thought maybe you were hoping he would show up week three, so you didn't have to see him week two. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, who's behind him?
Yeah.
They might delay the game just to, you know, get Tom Brady in there.
And you're going to London too. You ready for that one? Have you played in London yet? Have you done that
we
yet?
We played in London. Yeah. We skunked Jay Cutler when he was part of Miami.
Why you got to call him out like that? You said you beat Miami.
You know,
why you got to call him out?
It's rare to ever goose egg somebody, you know?
Yeah.
So Tom Brady and Jay Cutler are up there for me.
Okay. You just said those names in the same sentence. That just happened. Cam. Wow.
It's the two games I can recall that, you know, defense tell them to not touch them.
Okay. All right, Cam Jordan. Are you doing a podcast again or you're not? Are you out of that game?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
You know, Trust Levels, Season 3, me, Mark Ingram, we've got phenomenal guests. You know, I just name drop a couple that you guys might know. Jarvis Landry.
Heard of him.
It's on your team. Amari Cooper.
Okay.
You know, Jameis Winston. Okay. Famous Jameis is that.
So you're booking your teammates. Is that what you're saying? You're booking your teammates? Is that what you're doing?
I'm doing Amari Cooper.
Okay. He's on the Browns.
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We've definitely got some heavy hitters this press level season three. We finished up and we're geared up towards dropping it in the next couple weeks, I think.
You know, here in California, Cam, you've spent some time here in California, right? Here in California, people say, oh, yeah, I'll do your podcast and don't mean it. And then there are people who say, oh, yeah, I'll have you on my podcast, and then they don't mean it. I mean it when I say I'll do your podcast. I'm beginning to wonder if you don't mean it when you say, yeah, I'll have you on mine. I'm beginning to, it's season three, and I'm beginning to wonder if I'm really somebody who can be trust on the level that you are putting out there. I'll be honest.
On the biggest levels of trust, you know, we're going to eventually get there. I just feel like, again, we have to have like a Pro Bowl, all pro level caliber of a podcast before we go to one of the greats.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's not, it's Rich Eisen, the show, Rich Eisen podcast. I mean, we understand who you are, Rich.
See, this is now,
I'm you humbly.
This is, again, another Los Angeles thing. So you don't want me on your podcast. It's okay. You could just come out and say it. Just say, you know what, Rich, you don't fit. You could say it.
No. We're never going to say that. We're going to say we are reaching that territory where I feel like I'm going to be able to be like, hey, Rich, come on over. I feel like we've had the amount of guests, you know, guys like Brandon Marshall who are, you know, hit everything that you need to. We've talked to some legends, and now we need another legend.
Okay.
You'll be the one we call.
Cam Jordan, I thank you for the time. You be well. Let's do this again soon, brother. You're the best.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
That's Cam Jordan here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Love Cam Jordan, dude. That guy is just awesome. And you know what, TJ? It's one of those things, like, when he's done playing football, mm-hmm. which he said in 5 years, but let's be honest, he could keep playing probably as long as he wants. You're just excited for what he's going to do next. Like, is he going to get into our world? Is he going to have his own show? Is he going to get on TV? Is he going to do games? Is he going to be an analyst? Is he going to be in studio? Like, sky is totally the limit for this dude, and I just love when he comes on.
Yeah, he's got that personality that just, whether you're a Saints fan or not, you're just kind of drawn to Cam, you know, and we've gotten to know him a little bit, and, you know, he's got an ill sneaker game, which you and I appreciate.
Yep.
But he's that guy who, like, you know, maybe like Strahan, maybe like, you know, Gronk, you know, his career after football, it's going to be fun,
maybe,
and it's going to be
worthwhile. He could go acting, too. There's why not?
Yeah.
He had me at Jay Cutler.
You were like, you put them in the same sentence.
Wow. All right, let's take a break here on The Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. And the top five teams most fascinating to me entering 2022.
Oh.
Some of them are not what you think. That's coming up next. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's true when your business is growing fast, and even more true when there's a lot of uncertainty. Inflation is running rampant, supply chains are clogged, and the labor market is tight. What does that mean for margins? Well, not every business is in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs as well, helps you automate your manual business processes and see where to save your money. Know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. It's netsuite.com/richpod. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you don't know your numbers, then you don't know your business. It's true when your business is growing fast, and even more true when there's a lot of uncertainty. I don't know if you saw the Dow dropped about 600 the other day.
I noticed.
Inflation's running wild. Supply chains are clogged. Labor market can be tight. What does that mean for margins? Not every business, though, is in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So NetSuite helps you identify rising costs, automate your manual processes, as well as see where you can save your money. Look, know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Check it out right now. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio. Don't forget to send the Rich Radio out there. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Christopher, what do you got for me on that poll question as it currently stands?
All right, here we go, guys. We talked about the epic story coming out of New York last night. Dude at the Yankees game last night drinking a beer through a hot dog. Genius or a madman? He's a madman, guys. 82%.
Yeah, I like 82%. It. You're in the 18%, brother.
Definitely.
Are you going to do that tonight?
I absolutely going to do that tonight.
So what you're going to do is you're going to grill a hot dog? You got to grill it.
I was going to boil it, but I'll grill it.
Boil it.
Oh.
I like boiled hot dogs.
Okay.
Don't judge me.
However you want to eat the hot dog, it just needs to have a hole in it.
All right.
Okay. So
you gonna film it? You gotta film all this.
Yeah, my roommate's cameraman, so I already texted him.
I don't even think that level of expertise is necessary
I'm going
for this.
All out. I'm excited.
No, we want a full production out of this.
What type of straw are you gonna use? You can't use a paper one. That's what you get a lot around here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, no,
that's true. You could actually get the supply. If you have a skewer maybe for the grill, you could just like.
No. You got to do the straw. You got to basically.
Oh, you're just recreating?
Excuse me.
You just need to put a hole in a hot dog.
Chris, did you or did you not see Apollo 13?
It's been a while.
Okay.
But yes.
They had to use what's up in the LEM down on Earth in order to build what they needed to build to get the LEM and the astronauts home.
I understand.
So you can only use what was available to this guy in Yankee Stadium.
All right. So plastic straw, I'm assuming.
That's what it looks like right there.
Screw the turtles.
Plastic. See it? And again, this guy, all it took was two punctures and then in a beer. And he is nuts. How are people not turning around and looking at him like, what? Well, did he go to the game by himself?
But how does this end? Does he eat the hot dog after? You have to,
great
right?
questions.
I'm going to.
That's the sequel.
Yes. But Rich, it's like New York. You get on the subway, you see weird stuff. You don't react because
that's true.
Weird stuff happens in New York.
That's weird. That's weirder than what I've seen on a subway in many places.
I bet that's not even the weirdest thing that happened last night in the ballpark.
Yeah, actually, the Yankees got runs off of Max Scherzer.
Yeah, the Yankees won the game.
Yankees beat Max Scherzer.
Because Scherzer has this DGAF attitude. Like, he's going to throw Aaron Judge a pitch that he knows he shouldn't throw him just because he's Max and he's not going to give in to him.
But he owned Aaron Judge in Queens. Owned him. And as a matter of fact, struck him out in his first at-bat and made him look silly.
Yeah, well, last night, he almost took him for a ride twice.
Smitch just texted. He's going to the Dodger game tonight. Should he try it tonight with a Dodger dog?
Dodger dog is too thin, and it's too long, and it's too soggy.
I mean, you won't know until you try it.
Sorry. But Sean, yes.
Yes.
You try it tonight at a Dodger game, but it's really, you got to get a very long straw.
Also,
a Dodger dog is thinner and longer than what the Yankees are serving
right
there.
The straws at Dodger Stadium got to be paper, though.
That's true, too.
By the way, you could snap the Dodger dog in half and then stick your straw in.
I just don't know if the straw is going to be strong enough to create the hole.
But I think he should and see the reaction he gets in Dodger Stadium.
He might get beat up. Don't desecrate the Dodger dog like that.
Who are they playing? Oh, the Brewers? Oh, the Brewers take their beer and dogs very seriously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Very seriously.
You know somebody's done that in a Brewer game, right?
I've never seen this before. I don't know.
Madman. An absolute madman. He really should go to a maximum security prison and have Clarice Starling go interview
Jimmy
him.
Jimmy McGillis?
Trying to find out what's in his Clarice. Brain. Clarice, somebody from the FBI should show up and... Query this man to see what's in his brain.
Funny.
Truly puts the lotion in the basket, that guy.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. So, top five teams that fascinate me going into the NFL season.
So this could be any level. We could think they would be at the bottom. It could be anywhere from the Seahawks to the Bills,
Based on what changes have come.
Okay.
And what expectations have been placed upon the team.
Okay.
And how entertaining they can be. And how their season plays out fascinates me. And I think can fascinate the league as well. You can make a case that all 32 teams are fascinating in its own way.
Of course.
Its own little snowflake. Like, for instance, Jacksonville, not on my list. Fascinating to me. because of what Doug Peterson can do for this team in the mere fact that he's not Urban Meyer and he also won a Super Bowl. And it involves a quarterback who many people know because he was number one overall and had a terrific college career. But I just don't know how fascinating Jacksonville is overall, with all due respect to, to the good folks of Duval County.
Of course.
So I need music. I need music, please.
All right.
I appreciate you getting that ready for me. I've got the five most fascinating teams to me entering 2022. And you start with number five, working our way up. This team lost a major player on offense, a big-time playmaker on offense that many people consider such a game-changer for the quarterback, despite his incredible talent, that they are no longer going to be as perennially good at this brand of football and certainly on offense any longer. I'm talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, guy who's, cover Madden? Right? He's been on the cover of Madden. Everybody loves him. He's on everybody's fantasy team. There's some coordinator somewhere who wouldn't put his name to the statement that he plays street ball, some sort of stupidity like that.
And his first read isn't there.
But his first read has been Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill's not there anymore. And what will that do to this Chiefs offense? And who's going to step up? And there's Juju Smith-Schuster, and there's Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And a lot of people think that's not enough. Or it's going to be Sky Moore, this kid Justin Watson. Who are they? What are they going to do? And despite the fact that they do have Jerick McKinnon and Ronald Jones at the running back position behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire, everyone thinks it's Andy Reid's going to finally get got on offense. How will this team do this year? A lot of people think they're not going to win the division because of how good the division is. Chiefs are, you're one of them. You're one of them.
I am.
Chiefs are fascinating to me. They're fun to watch. They're going to have as many, I would think, people on your fantasy team and your fantasy league than most teams anyway still. Chiefs are number five, most fascinating to me team to me on the list. Number four is the defending world champion, Los Angeles Rams. They're not getting a lot of talk right now because I think people believe that Stafford's hurt and last year could have been a fluke. They added added Allen Robinson to this team. Allen Robinson is a guy that has never had an offense like this. At all. What's he going to look like in this offense? And they also added Bobby Wagner behind the best defensive player in the game in Aaron Donald. And they've got a guy in a chip on their shoulder right behind him in Jalen Ramsey. And they've got the Super Bowl MVP in Cooper Kupp. And they've got Sean McVay now back under contract. And can they win it all again? Every single game that the Rams play, to me, is fascinating. It starts with the Buffalo Bills up front. And then they've got their division games as well. They have to play Tampa Bay. They have to play Green Bay again. This team has got an incredible schedule. Vegas. They've got to play Denver. They play the AFC West, which everybody thinks is the toughest division in football. Every division game has got something to it. They play the Dallas Cowboys as well. Baker Mayfield and Carolina is on their list. That might be the one team that you're not even thinking about on their schedule, the Chargers, the battle for L.A., if you will.
By the Bills.
That's first up.
It's first up.
It's a fascinating team to me. In a way, as well, West Coast, East Coast bias and West Coast ignored. How many people are saying the Rams have a chance to repeat? They're number four on my list. Here are the most fascinating teams entering 2022. Number three are the Denver Broncos. All right, Russ, let's ride. Let's ride. Let's see what's what. I have been saying I need to see it to believe it. I can't wait to see it. First up, Denver at Seattle. Come on. Right away, they send Russ back home. Let's see what Denver looks like. That defense that looked good with Vic Fangio, now it's got a new coach, a new way of looking at things. Nathaniel Hackett is hooked up. We're not wondering if Russ is going to cook. He's got the kitchen. He's got the ingredients. He's got everything now. He's got the hat. He's got the stove. He's got whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. He's got everything in the kitchen. Russ is going to be allowed to cook in a way that I guess he wasn't allowed to cook in Seattle. And the Denver Broncos, a lot of people think, can win this division. I need to see it. And every single time that Russ goes out there under his new auspices And he takes on the NFC West as well. So he's going to be back in his old division, his first time out. Can't wait to watch this whole thing play out. They're fascinating to me, number three on the list. Number two on the list is a team that I don't think a lot of people are talking about. I don't think a lot of people are talking about being fascinating.
Hint.
But I'm going
to give us a hint.
It is a guy with a team with a new head coach and a new weapon and a quarterback that everybody is waiting to see. Can he live up to the billing that two guys in his draft class that were drafted, one in front of him and one behind him, have been living up to in elite status already? It is the Miami Dolphins. Number two on my list, Tua, is number two. The Dolphins, Tyreek Hill in this offense, Jalen Waddle in this offense, the running game with Raheem Mostert in this offense, Mike McDaniel is bringing from San Francisco. Every post-game press conference with this guy is going to be fascinating to me. And I got to see what he does game management. I got to see what he does in press conferences where I think he wins them. Everybody is wondering what he was saying on Levitard's show, talking about Tua throwing the most accurate catchable ball he's ever seen. You heard Jordan Palmer saying yesterday that was weird. He's going to do things unconventionally. I don't know what he's going to do game management style. Him versus Belichick is going to be fascinating to me. This team that won all those games last year under Brian Flores and playing hard-hitting defense, what's it going to look like, this offense that's the track meet? And will Tua be able to execute it? Can they give a threat in division to the Bills? Will they make the playoffs this year when they came so close last year? Because the offense is going to be clicking under Tua with Tyreek Hill. What's he going to look like without Mahomes? And if it doesn't look like what we know Tyreek Hill to look like, is he going to be more vocal now in a way that he didn't say a word in Kansas City? Are we going to hear more from Tyreek in the manner that we've heard from wide receivers who don't get the football? For instance, we won't learn about a week five game in which he thought he was being iced out of the offense and a podcast the following year, right? The Miami Dolphins are number two on this list.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
That's what I'm talking about. Salty Tua. I'm fascinated by the Miami Dolphins. And the number one on this list is going to be number one on so many people's lists to win it all. The Buffalo Bills. How will they make sure they live up to the billing that everybody is going to be billing, if you will, for Buffalo? How are they going to follow up what we saw last year with another two steps forward? We've seen him in an AFC championship game, and then we saw him in a divisional playoff game lose in Kansas City. And if Kansas City is less than in people's minds, then the door is wide open for the Buffalo Bills. Wide open. Josh Allen is an MVP candidate. Gabriel Davis could be a number one in number two's clothing. I think James Cook is remarkable. Von Miller is now there. And the punt god won the job. Shocked the world. Matt Araiza, whenever the Bills don't do well on offense, somehow are 3 or 6 and outed, or do have their backs to their goal line, he'll just flip the field right around. Even their punt unit will be fascinating to watch this year. The coach, everything is set up for the Buffalo Bills and the Bills Mafia to have the season for the ages. And every single game from start to finish, they're going to be opening up in the home of the defending Super Bowl champs. They are taking on, obviously, their own division opponents. They are visiting Cincinnati on a Monday night after the calendar turns, January 2nd. They're playing on Thanksgiving again at Detroit. They're playing in front of the nation against New England the following week. They're going to be on national television their first two games. They're playing the Sunday night of Halloween weekend against Green Bay. Look out, man. They're back in Kansas City again. At Baltimore, where it's Allen versus Lamar. Fascinating matchups. All of them, including at Miami. My top two most fascinating teams are playing twice this year. That's my list. Top five most fascinating teams for me entering 2022. Gents, you have the floor. Anything?
I mean, I like it. I think, like you said, all 32 teams are fascinating heading into this year. Whether they're fascinating nationally, I think you kind of hit it here. Cowboys are always fascinating. 49ers, I'm kind of surprised you didn't have on that list, just considering how often you've been talking about Trey Lance and talking about them. Raiders, also fascinating. Surprised they didn't make your list as well.
Since, I think they're fascinating to me. I don't know. I mean, just in terms of their division, but I don't think every single one of their games they got a must see what's going on. I mean, the Chiefs, a lot of people think that they are going to, you know what, the bed.
I don't understand that.
Neither do I. As you say, you know, as you know, I've been saying over the last week, their offense is going to be better than most people think, if not better. But I still think the Raiders are set up with Devontae Adams.
I think the Colts are pretty fascinating to me.
Don't you think, though, the Broncos are the fascination of so many people that Russ has changed addresses?
Yeah, they made such a big trade. I mean, that was the biggest, splashiest NFL trade we've seen.
What if Russ goes there and actually takes them to the playoffs in the same manner that he perennially did Seattle? What if he does that? What if he doesn't?
He might be
That's
MVP.
What I'm saying.
Yeah,
if they do or they do not.
Yeah.
If they do or they do not, it's still fascinating to me. Same thing with Miami.
And they have a new head coach.
Same thing with Miami. That's the one aspect about Miami is that if Tyreek Hill was never heard from in Kansas City, that's going to change in Miami.
Well, it's already. His podcast makes headlines.
That's what I'm saying.
All over the place. Also, with Miami, I think there's just the backdrop of the Tom Brady stuff from the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
And whether or not
Tua's
even going to be the quarterback next year.
Thinking that of it. That's what I'm saying. That's not a question with Derek Carr. He's a guy.
Well, except Derek Carr turns out was the MF-er.
That's so long ago. Gruden's long gone. So is Mayock. There's a new guy in town.
I get it, but like Albert said yesterday, it's a story that it's not going to go away.
I'm just saying the Bills have a level of expectation that fascinates me. The Rams are the defending Super Bowl champs. How fascinating will that be if they do it again or have an opportunity to do it again? And we'll have to see, can they do it again? How repeatable is last year? That's always fascinating to me. The Chiefs are just a fascinating team to begin with, certainly if they don't perform as well as people think. Denver is fascinating, and so is Miami, because that quarterback situation is totally, like, this could be the end of Tua.
Giants are pretty fascinating, too.
But if they don't win, people will expect it.
Right. But they have a new head coach. It's kind of make or break for Daniel Jones and Saquon, really. I mean, every year we're like, this is going to be the greatest season ever, but this is really going to be the greatest season ever.
You're awful quiet over there.
I just listen.
He just doesn't want anyone to talk about Dallas.
Yeah, I'm just glad we're not talking about the Cowboys.
They're not as fascinating to me. I'm sorry. I mean, and I'm not going to just manufacture it just because somebody's shows want to manufacture it because the Cowboys get
Thank
the clicks
you. And all that sort of stuff. I'm saying I appreciate that.
I think they've taken a step backwards.
I appreciate
that. I think they have.
I think based on what you had said previously about Denver, I think that was surprising just to see them in there. I think people are a little down on them a little bit.
But I've said I need to see it to believe it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I need to see it to believe it. And so I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
I would love for nothing more than the Denver Broncos fans in my life to be happy and for me to be wrong that this is not going to be their year. This is going to be, I think, an adjustment year for a lot of people. And I just don't know how good they can be and how transformative Russ can be just by his mere presence.
Well, we never know. See it. This is all just, you know.
Well, now we're going to find out.
We're guessing until the 11th comes.
And the whole business of let Russ cook.
Wow.
The number of the times that you would see the 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7 run, I'm assuming will be over. Like, let him run. Let him see. Let's see what he does.
Two good backs on that squad.
I mean,
he's no longer the young kid who got drafted by the team and got the opportunity from his old school head coach. And he's a good kid making good. Now he's the Super Bowl winning veteran being brought here in a monster trade to be the guy. And run the offense. And there will not be a single moment where, like, boy, the Broncos are holding Russ back. I mean, there won't be a single scintilla of that. So let's see what it looks like without that. That's why it's fascinating to me,
it's,
too.
It's the best quarterback Denver's had now in 8 years since Peyton Manning's second season.
I mean, right.
Manning was pretty garbage his last year in Denver, even though they won the Super Bowl.
Well, I could you could say he was an aging quarterback. You could give him that benefit of the doubt.
He had 9 touchdown passes.
I mean, garbage is a tough word for
in a full season.
Right.
He had 9 touchdown passes. Okay, I'm just saying it was pretty garbage. But I mean, it's basically all on Russ.
They use it again there.
He slipped it in there,
but it was. I mean, it's the worst quarterback season from a Super Bowl winner ever.
Well, substandard. We can say substandard.
It was awful.
he's not going to let that go. So.
I mean, Brock Osweiler was the better quarterback for Denver.
No, he was not.
Come on. I know you like Peyton Manning. I like him, too, but he was not good. He was terrible. He had 9 touchdown passes and 17 interceptions.
Right, so your point for this year is what?
My point is that it's the best quarterback that Denver's had in 8 seasons.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think expectations should be pretty high.
Fascinating. Let's take a break. What do you think? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show on this terrestrial radio station, Odyssey, our podcast, and YouTube.com. Back here in our terrestrial radio outfit. We just heard the play it again. Play the Brady thing again. Play it one more time. This is from the shop when Brady was sitting there on HBO. And, you know, you played the long version.
Right.
Because normally you just play you're sticking with that MF or drop?
Well, they're labeled the same, so.
Oh, well, that's Del Tufo's system. But go ahead and hit it.
Yeah, absolutely. When I look back, I'm like, I just don't where it would have went for that team. But they said they didn't want me, and I know what that means. I know what that feels like, and I'm going to you up because of that.
I'd love
so
that.
So Dana White said he had set it up for him and for Brady and Gronk to go together. Brady was even house hunting, and then Gruden turned it down at the last second. And so if Brady's saying they didn't want, I would have gone there, they didn't want me, and I'll F you up. They don't play Vegas this year, do they? They do. I do believe, by the way.
Bucks play the Raiders?
Hold on a minute.
I don't think so.
Hold on a minute. No, they don't.
No.
They don't.
Dang it.
What a bummer. They play the Patriots. That's why I thought about Brady.
Well, they play the Niners, so maybe he could just, you know, go up there and do some stuff while he's in the area.
Well,
Patriots in Vegas. You want to go, Chris?
I've already thought about this. I haven't decided yet.
That's a Sunday night. You can get back. Honestly, you could take one of those 10 o'clock flights back. It's right across the street from McCarran Airport where Serrano once famously took the disc. It's right there.
I'm aware. I know where it is. It's across from MGM. He's been there. Mandalay. I get it.
Okay. Jeff in Los Angeles, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeffrey?
What's going on, Rich? How you doing?
What's going on? What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, before I get into the disturbing scenes at Yankee Stadium last night, I wanted to tell you, good for you for that NFL honors digs at the Ohio State fans. I haven't been able to call in and tell you that, but just good for you. I love it every time you do that, Rich.
Yeah, was it the jacket dinner in front of a whole bunch of people in the state of Ohio that were screaming OH at me and that hit a nerve, I'll be honest. So
I love it.
Said it with my chest.
I think you're.
Thank you, Jeff.
So just like you, Rich, I'm a lifelong Yankee fan, right? My best friend's uncle was on the team when we were little kids, so that's how I kind of got it out their way of being here from Southern California. I have never seen anything more shameful as a Yankees fan than other fans doing that. If they can ban beer in the bleacher creatures, this has to be banned by Yankee Stadium security. But if you can do that, you can do this. Drinking, or chiseling out a hole in a hot dog to drink beer around other people, like that's like taking your shoes off with no socks on in an airplane and just walking around. Like it's just bad, right?
Well, like, we didn't see the aftermath. It could just be the whole mindset of it all winds up in the same place, right? So what's the problem? Sure. If I'm going to drink the beer and eat the hot dog, why don't I drink the beer through the hot dog and then consume the hot dog without the bun? Maybe he might just be avoiding the carbs. I don't know.
That's just so wrong.
Be a light beer and he's avoiding carbs.
Keto friendly
concoction. I don't know. But it's weird and he's a madman. I agree with you. Gives everyone a bad name. And I need to know who this man is and I need to know. Thank you for the call. I need to know if this was his second run at it, which is why somebody had the camera ready to capture it. I need to know if he was having trouble Digging the hole? I don't know. I mean, you went full Shawshank on that hot dog, right? Right?
Full Shawshank.
He's digging a hole, trying to get through it. And the guy's like, if you're sitting there like, is he really going to drink? And by the way, kudos to the person capturing the video. Because normally when you witness a crime, you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing videoing it? You should stop it, right?
There's nothing you could do about it.
Not in 2022, Rich.
At this point.
This was a victimless crime.
This is one of those things. I don't think so.
Well, I mean, we're victims because we had to see it. But, you know, he wasn't harming anyone but himself.
I mean, it's terrible.
I can't wait.
So you're going to do it tonight. And then, totally. So you're going to do it tonight in the confines of your own home.
Yeah.
And Sean Mitchell is going to be Rich Eisen Show coordinating producer of the digital part of our operation. He is going to
Dodgers tonight. Dodgers
do it
Brewers.
In front of actual patrons at Dodger Stadium.
Yes.
That's what's up.
I don't know where his seats are. I can find out. I'm sure they're pretty good. He knows people.
I bet you could use a soft pretzel for a minute.
Soft pretzel. Someone actually sent me a tweet. What about a pickle?
Oh.
You could call. I'd rather do a pickle than a hot dog.
Picklebacks.
Oh,
are good.
I would not.
Chase whiskey what? With some pickle
I hate
juice?
Pickles though. So.
Oh, but if you carve out a pickle, you're using that for a straw for a long time. I mean, that's a nice solid exterior.
What does it matter?
I mean, I'm not doing it. I'm just saying I'd rather use the pickle than a hot dog or a pretzel or anything. You know what I mean? No. Hey, Artie Moreno is thinking about selling the Angels.
I saw that. I want to have a little bit more run to talk about it, and we're about to.
I was just changing
say goodbye
the
to our. No, that's
yeah,
all right.
Yeah. I was just getting
say
off
goodbye to our terrestrial radio outfit for just hour number two. We'll hit on that at top of hour number three and other news that's going on in the world of sports here on this crazy mixed up world where people are digging holes in hot dogs and consuming beers through it. It's just. It makes you really wonder what's happening in the world, this crazy mixed up planet. Thomas Q. Jones coming up in studio hour three.
Curb got renewed season 12.
Well, I told you that was happening.
I know, but it's official now.
He actually.
I'm saying it's out there.
Once
now.
It was Larry David telling me that at the For Your Consideration event that I hosted back in June, that was it.
I understand, but now it's, you know, public.
Fantastic.
Season 12 coming.
Okay. Robert in Wisconsin, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take your call. What's up, Robert?
Hey, Rich. Just calling in. The only thing about that hot dog thing, I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum flavor-wise, but you guys are really burying the lead. There's people out there drinking beer through straws. How is that not?
That's true, too,
good
by
point.
The way.
Good point.
I mean, I guess, what's your point? What's worse, the straw or the hot straw as a hot dog is a straw? What's worse? What's worse? It's got to be the hot dog.
Easily the straw
really?
Concept. I mean, like I said, flavor-wise, have you ever seen a Bloody Mary in this state? I mean, we top those things with, like, half a fried chicken. You know, meat and alcohol together is an absolutely, like, that's proof that God loves us.
Yeah.
You seem to have a couple of misconceptions about the state. The other one I have to tell you is that not every Big Ten rivalry involves Michigan. Paul Bunyan's axe does not even know that your school exists.
Listen, Robert.
What? I like this, Robert.
Robert.
You got to call back.
Robert. The Paul Bunyan axe. The Paul Bunyan axe. The Paul Bunyan axe is between you and Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Does the whole country
stand for the Northwood?
And Robert, I look, you had me at hello with the whole business of meat and alcohol. That means that God loves you. I love it. But you got to be kidding me. Wisconsin, Minnesota, does that stop traffic? Were people with the remotes? Come on. Coast to coast? Really? Let's be honest. Be honest. Yes or no?
I mean, I can't speak for coast to coast. I'm just saying that
that's what I'm saying.
Don't realize that you exist.
I'm talking.
It's a Big Ten rivalry.
I'm talking coast to coast. And I'm saying, like, look, there's the brown jug between Michigan and Minnesota. I'm not throwing that in there. It's big between Michigan and Minnesota. That's for sure. I'm just talking about the whole country. But I don't want to end on these terms, other than the fact that I really adore you. And let's try it again. Okay? Can we do that again?
Rich, I'll do my best to come back. I enjoyed this. Excellent. I just checked off something on the bucket list.
Attaboy. Robert in Wisconsin, everybody.
See you, Rob.
Putting fried chicken on Bloody Marys.
People from Wisconsin just built different.
They are.
Right?
I love it.
Just built different.
I love it. All right, we'll take a break here on our YouTube stream. Don't go anywhere. We're back on Odyssey YouTube on The Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.